Hey guys, this is Shru.
And this is Chitri.
And you are listening to Bioscope.
Hey everyone, hope you all had a good week. And this was such a huge week. I was thinking, first of all, like new US president. And more importantly, I was also thinking like the US rejoined the Paris Agreement. That was a huge deal. And our episode on climate change that we shared a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking that was so, so timely. Right, Shru?
Totally. And the whole of this week, I've been very optimistic overall. I hope you all enjoyed our last episode. If you haven't heard it yet, do check it out because we talk about the very basics of climate change. And that is so important to understand before we jump into this episode.
Yeah, because today we were thinking we'll talk a little bit about day-to-day activities and like, you know, how each of us kind of play a role in climate change. And also like how we can start thinking about making changes, like small lifestyle changes that could help.
Yeah, so before we can go into what we have to do and how we should be doing it, I think it's very important to have some kind of measure or how we can calculate our impact right now and our contributions to climate change, and then talk about, you know, what we should be doing and so on.
Yeah, that makes sense. So kind of like thinking about like, you know, what is our, why should we even be making these changes, right? Yeah, like maybe we can start off talking about carbon footprint because that's kind of what is going to drive most of this conversation. Maybe like, Shru, you want to tell us a little bit about what is it?
Yeah, absolutely. So carbon footprint is a very easy way of measuring or quantifying the amount of greenhouse gases we all emit individually, either directly or indirectly. So this could be emissions of carbon dioxide or any other greenhouse gases like methane or nitrous oxide or fluorinated gases.
Got it. So like any gas that would trap heat in the atmosphere, like the stuff that we talked about in the last episode about greenhouse gases. That makes sense. Okay, so like if we think about like, you know, what activities we do that add to carbon footprint, I know we mentioned this a little bit in the last episode, but if you think about like the most important factors that we should be thinking about and like making changes to, are there like any buckets of things to think about?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this a little bit before this episode, and I think we can categorize them into three major buckets. One is transportation, the other major bucket is food, and the third is energy consumption.
You know, actually, before this episode, I was also curious about like what my carbon footprint is and also like how does this compare to the average? Like, am I good, bad? I know that's super nerdy, but like if any of you are interested, there are a lot of sites where you can go and calculate your carbon footprint. We're also going to just share some in the description so that you can check it out.
Yeah, totally. And actually, you know, G3, I didn't tell you this, but I went in and calculated my carbon footprint as well. You know, I think it's a real eye-opener for me, and I am all set to make these changes.
That's cool. Okay. I'm going to share a stat about, like, carbon footprint so that, like, you know, if you guys end up, like, calculating yours, you can kind of get a sense of where you stand. So in general, around the world, the average is about 4 tons, but in the US, it's more like 16. So that's, like, 4 times more than the average, which is not great. And if we want to have like a good chance of, you know, fighting against like rise in global temperatures and actually avoiding a 2-degree rise in the temperatures, we need to drop our carbon footprint to be under 2 tons by 2050. If you think about it, that's not really far off. That's just like 30 years away.
Wow, this is definitely shocking. And I think we should all act right now.
Yeah, I mean, totally. Like, I think US is only the second worst. Like, China is worse than that. And then India, Russia, and Japan are the other three countries that kind of rank top 5. Like, nothing to be proud of, but like, you know, these are the countries that emit the most greenhouse gases right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so when I think about it, I know we talk about countries as a whole, and we know that each country makes its own decision in terms of, you know, what measures they all take in reducing the overall emissions. But I think when we talk about on a personal level, we all can, you know, make small lifestyle changes. And I think as we all start making these changes, we will all eventually have a big impact.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And like, you know, I mean, that's exactly what we wanted to talk about today. So you were saying there were like three buckets. Sorry, I forgot. Like, what were the three that you called out that impact our carbon footprint the most?
Yeah, so they are travel, food, and energy. So let's start with travel. I know it's a really strange time to be talking about travel because most of us have been stuck at home for almost a year now. But one of the most effective ways in which we can reduce our carbon footprint and reduce our emissions is by choosing how much we travel and how we travel and if we travel at all.
Okay, travel sounds like a perfect topic because, you know, I've been dreaming about travel for, I don't know, almost a year now. Yeah, like I was also reading up some facts about how travel or like just transportation contributes to carbon emissions. So according to a report in 2017, transportation actually emits a lot more greenhouse gases than electricity. You know, like for the longest time, like we kept saying that electricity generation is one of the big contributors to greenhouse gases because we burn coal. But it turns out that a lot of the world has kind of started moving towards renewable energy like natural gas and things like that. And actually now transportation has surpassed electricity generation in terms of carbon emissions.
Jitri, you seem to be all about the stats today. But that is a great fact to know. And I feel like in 2020, this might have changed a little bit, given that most of us are not doing any air travel. And I understand totally that pandemic situation is super unfortunate for all of us. But I guess we have something good that came out of it, which maybe we all have reduced our carbon footprint, right?
Yeah, totally. I think bad for us from like a personal perspective, like, you know, affected our work, like our life, everything. But I think at the end of the day, it was really good for the planet.
Yeah, but I think we should anyway talk about when things get back to normal, what should we be doing? So I think day to day, using public transport, try like taking a train or a bus, or the best way, which is to ride a bike, would be a really good solution instead of choosing to, you know, drive your car.
Yeah, makes sense. But also, like, I mean, I don't know, like, I think public transport is a good one. Of course, if you can bike, that sounds like the best. But a lot of places also don't have really great public transport connectivity. So I don't know. I mean, there's not much we can do about that ourselves, right?
You would think so, but I think we still can do some things about it. So, for example, we could, you know, use carpools instead of driving ourselves. Or we could make some really small changes. For example, you could go easy on the brakes, or you could avoid rush hours where, you know, you are spending a lot more gas. And all that actually could add up and definitely help.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't even think about like avoiding traffic hours that much. But that's like something good to think about, I guess.
Yeah, so when it comes to transportation, though, I think we really have to address the elephant in the room, which is air travel, right? And which is so necessary these days. We travel everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, for business, for leisure, it's great that we can travel everywhere by air now. It's a lot quicker, like a lot of places are connected well. But yeah, it does. It's probably like one of the biggest factors when we think about transportation. So there, I think like it's not so obvious like how we can optimize there. But one thing I was reading was like when you're trying to book a long flight, think about reducing connecting flights. So actually, if you take a single long flight, that is actually going to reduce your carbon footprint significantly more than taking connecting flights.
Wow, this is news to me. I never knew about this. And I think we always go for the cheapest flight option, which is, of course, having two or three stops. And definitely, I think it's all about making a conscious choice whenever you come into these situations, right?
Yeah, I guess if you do have to fly and can't really avoid connecting flights, maybe think about reducing your carbon footprint in other areas, right? Like, we're going to talk about a few more things, but in general, let's say you take a flight and then you say, for the next couple of months, I'm going to just ride the bus.
You know, Jitri, that is a very interesting perspective. And I think the next time, you know, I just cannot avoid a flight travel, I'm really going to think about my choices. So these were some really good tips about travel. So let's go into the next major factor, which is food. Now, this is something Jitri and I have been talking about and researching quite a bit. And what we found is that the emissions are completely linked to what we put on our plates.
Yeah, you might have heard a lot of experts say that, you know, eating less meat is good, is a better choice for the environment, especially red meat. This is mostly because like the like red meat production uses a lot of feed, a lot of water, a lot of land. And the cows themselves, they actually give off methane gases, which is a harmful greenhouse gas.
Interesting. So, you know, Jeetri, just for a change, let me give you another stat.
All right.
You know, the mass of animals that are raised for slaughter, that is raised for food production, is actually 15 times more than the wildlife that we have right now. Can you believe that?
Gosh, that's a pretty crazy ratio.
Yeah, and you know, meat and dairy specifically, they account for about 15% of the total greenhouse gas emissions.
Wow. Okay, so I guess a vegan diet is probably the best for the environment.
Yeah, I would think so. I think that is the only way you can avoid both meat and dairy. So I think the vegan diet is the best way to go.
Yeah, this may be too extreme a change for some folks though. Like, I mean, just giving up everything and becoming vegan is not super easy. But I guess overall, just eating lower down the food chain and like, you know, reducing red meat. Like, for example, you don't have to completely cut off meat. Like, you know, you could eat chicken instead of red meat. Like that actually, like even that trade-off could have some impact, is what experts say.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with you. Or, you know, it's very easy. I think it's much easier to make a change in terms of transportation than actually change our food habits because we are so used to it. And I think even if we swap a few meals per week to, you know, to a vegan or a vegetarian meal, that still is going to reduce our carbon footprint.
Yeah, I guess that definitely sounds like something we can all do and like, you know, we should do. Another thing to kind of keep in mind, like when it comes to food, is most of the greenhouse emissions actually happen during production and not transport. I mean, I wouldn't say not transportation, but compared to transportation, the emissions during production are a lot more.
Ah, interesting. So many of us advocate for eating local, right? We want to always promote our farmers and go to the local farmers market to get our produce. So I think eating local is still great, but not sure if it's going to have that much of an impact than switching to red meat, say.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Like eating local is great and it has like a lot of benefits. But all I was saying was, you know, if you just eat local and actually like eat red meat, that is not really going to help with climate change.
Yeah, totally. So this I've always been curious about. I know all of us, you know, we don't want to eat too many pesticides. So we try to move towards a more organic diet. So trying to buy only organic produce. I wonder if this has any impact on climate change at all. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, so organic systems actually use less energy than conventional ones, but they do require a lot more land and probably a lot more water. So like all in all, it kind of emits the same amount or similar amounts of greenhouse gases. But like if we actually like move completely towards organic, like, you know, we don't eat like that much conventional produce across the world, then that could actually have a negative impact on climate change. So that's something to think about. Like, that's not to say we shouldn't be eating organic. Like, obviously, true, like you said, like, you know, that kind of prevents us from like eating pesticides. So like that's like good enough reason to eat organic. But we shouldn't really fool ourselves into thinking that like eating organic is like, you know, helping or like doing anything about climate change.
Wow, this is something that I did not know. So eating organic, you are saying, has nothing to do with improving climate change. So those are two different things that we are trying to tackle here. And I think we should just find a balance between the two.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the other thing maybe we can talk about a little bit is also like we talked about like, you know, what we should be eating, what we shouldn't be eating. There's also this whole thing around food waste. You know, I don't have the exact stat this time, but I did read somewhere that most of our food waste happens in our refrigerators.
But, you know, just thinking about this, I think we can still avoid that. We can make very small changes to our lifestyle to avoid wasting food. One thing that I can think of is creating a meal plan at the beginning of the week so we know exactly what we want to buy and not buy too much, right? So I know we want to move towards a plant-based diet, but buying a whole bunch of veggies and fruits and then dumping it into the refrigerator and forgetting about it is not the way to go.
Well, yeah, I hope you're not taking a dig at me, Shru, but yes, I'm going to think about making meal plans.
Yeah, and the other thing that we can do is in case we have leftovers, we can get creative with them. I know we get kind of bored of eating the same thing again and again. So I think that's one way to do this.
Yeah, you know, I was browsing Netflix the other day and they actually have a show about like how you can use up leftovers. Who'd have thought? Maybe that's something we should all watch.
Wow, I think that's something that I should definitely watch. Yeah, so that's one way to do it. Let me think of other ways. The other is, of course, you can freeze your food if you think that they're going to expire. So that's another way to do it. But most importantly, I think we should also be using less of disposable cutlery, like, you know, plastic spoons and plates.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the food packaging is also like, you know, plastics these days. So that's probably also something to think about. Like, so just how can we reduce, like, you know, disposable bags or, you know, the bags in which your vegetables come and things like that.
Yeah, that's so true. I think, you know, carrying our own bags to for grocery shopping is also something that we should all be doing. So I know that we've spoken about a lot of things that we can do with respect to food, and it might be good to summarize for us and for our listeners as well. So one thing I can think of is that turning vegan or vegetarian, or at least turning vegan a few meals a week, is going to help.
Yep, that's definitely going to help. And then we also said eating local, eating organic are great things, but like probably don't have much to do with climate change. And then we also talked about food waste. So like, I guess those are kind of the top points we touched on.
Great. I can imagine myself doing some of these things.
Yep. I'm going to, maybe we can hold each other to it, you know, and like see which of these things we end up doing.
Yeah. And I think it's always nice to have friends or family who, you know, make these small changes along with you. I think that's really going to help you keep the habit. So yeah, so let's talk about the next one, which is energy. I've heard of, you know, some of my friends who do this, which is you can actually go and take an energy audit where you have a professional come in and rate your home and give a score for your home's efficiency in terms of how it consumes energy. And they can also recommend a few things that you can do to improve your insulation and so on. The other big thing that you can do is go towards renewable energy.
Yeah, I think solar panels are like one of the obvious ones when we talk about renewable energy, especially if you live in a sunny place, right? Like there's a lot of options like for getting like roof tiles that are solar, or like installing like solar panels on your terrace, like all kinds of things. And in fact, you could give power back to the grid if you generate like enough, like especially if you're in a sunny place, I guess it makes sense to do that. What else? There's also like a lot of small things that you could be doing, like, you know, turning off the lights like when you leave a room, or like just turning off appliances when you leave your house. Like just remember to do those things.
Yeah. I think those are very important. And I think it's a win-win, right? I mean, you reduce electricity bills as well. So I don't think that's a change that is going to take much from you. So I think it's still going to benefit you directly. The other thing that you can do is install LED lights instead of the traditional incandescent lights, because they use much less energy. And one more thing that some of them might like is to have shorter showers, because, you know, then you use less of your water heater and overall less of your heater. So that's going to help as well.
I don't know how much everyone's going to like that, but I think that's a good pointer. And like, maybe I should think about that a lot more. Cool. Okay, like when we think about home, like, so we talked about energy. I guess like the next thing that we could also talk about is we talked a little bit about food waste, but there's also like a lot of other waste that we generate. We buy a ton of stuff, and then there's like just a lot of waste associated with that. So maybe let's talk a little bit about that, and also probably a little bit about like how we should recycle better.
So G3, what you're getting at is that we should all be following a minimalistic lifestyle.
Yep, buying less is the first step.
So this was very interesting that I, you know, became aware the last couple of years, which is the term fast fashion, right? Before that, I never really thought about clothes as something that is going to contribute to climate change. But in fact, the clothes that are produced quickly and cheaply, they're mostly unsustainable. And they, in fact, use up a lot of water and energy.
Yeah, the other thing I was reading was also like, you know, clothes that you buy that are like kind of branded or like not really branded, but like that kind of fall under fast fashion, they also don't last that long, which means you're just going to be like buying a lot more of those, which is obviously like kind of circular, like all of the, you know, the energy needs and things like that you talked about, it just kind of amplifies that. So yeah, I think like something that I have been like very consciously thinking about is like just thinking about like sustainable brands. Like, you know, there are all these brands that either talk very openly about like their manufacturing processes, like what energy they use and stuff. And then there's also brands that actually recycle. Like for instance, they make shoes out of plastic bottles, which is awesome.
Yeah, and I heard you can also rent clothes these days. So that is amazing as well.
Yeah, renting sounds like a good idea. Like, you know, other things, I mean, like, we've all worn hand-me-downs, like, when we were growing up. So just, like, buying used clothes, thrift shopping, like all of those things are really, really good for the environment. Even just exchanging clothes with a friend or your sister, like who might be the same, like, you know, if they're the same size as you.
I think that sounds like a great idea, and that's totally doable. Now that I think about it, I think the pandemic has helped in more ways than one in terms of, you know, I've been in my PJs all the time working from home, and that has really reduced the amount of shopping that I've been doing.
That is great. I think that's true. Like, I haven't really bought much stuff in the last, I mean, bought much clothes in the last year.
So great. So I think we've covered reducing, reusing. So let's talk about recycling a little bit.
Yep. Let's talk about recycling. I hope most people are recycling. If you're already recycling, there's still some things you could do. For instance, like just look up your garbage collection services website to see, like, you know, what grades of plastic and like things like that that they recycle and like what are the guidelines that they lay out. Because one of the things that we might not be aware of is we might be recycling, but let's say you put like something that's not recyclable in your area in your recycle bin by accident, then that whole batch could actually end up in the landfill, which is not great. So like just reading a little bit and like, you know, being a little bit more conscious about like how you recycle could also help. So I guess what I'm saying is definitely recycle, but if you're already recycling, maybe there is a little bit more you can do. Just like read up and like make sure you're recycling the right way.
Yeah, totally. And I think I've been doing recycling myself for the past year, and I just feel so good just doing it. And I think it really makes an impact on your carbon footprint. One thing I would like to say is when we were growing up in India, you know, we used to have newspaper collectors, we had milk supplied in plastic covers, and we could actually get money for actually recycling those plastic covers, which was a really good incentive, and all of us did that. One thing is that in some countries, we might not have specific recycling bins. So what do we do in those cases?
Yeah, I think like probably, I mean, I don't think that's like the end of the world. Like if you guys, you know, don't have like separate recycling bins or things like that, you can definitely look up like recycling services in your area, or just like, you know, like and then there's always social media. Like maybe you could ask about like, you know, how others in your area are recycling and things like that. But I guess just think about recycling and like start thinking about like what your options are. And Shru, actually, you mentioned like, you know, like when we were growing up, like we would recycle and actually get money for it. Like even in the US, I think like if you actually, there's like this bottle deposit and like things like that, where you could actually collect like glass bottles, like deposit it and get like a surcharge back. And even like, I was gonna say, even like when you buy groceries, right? Like there are some brands which actually give you like milk or yogurt and like glass containers. And then you can go like return the glass container and get a discount on the next, you know, purchase of milk or yogurt. I don't know if you knew about this. Like there are some brands that do this, and I can probably tell you more about it later.
Wow, that is a great idea. I think that's amazing. I should try that next time. So I think we've spoken about a lot of things that we can do. But what if we absolutely cannot avoid certain things, right? Or, you know, we feel bad about, let's say, flying when we just couldn't avoid it. I did hear about something called carbon offset, and a lot of companies do this. They try to be carbon neutral, where they, you know, whatever amount of energy that or carbon footprint that they have, they try to offset it by investing in these projects that help combat climate change, like, you know, growing more trees or installing more renewable sources of energy and so on. And I think there are some organizations that also help you sort of invest in them. But make sure that they're authentic before you jump into that. And what do you think about this, G3? Will you ever do this?
I think so, but probably as like an additional thing. I feel like we talked about a lot of things that we could actually do. And if there are things that I'm not able to do and like I just want to feel better about it, sure. But even otherwise, I think these all sound like great initiatives to invest in. If you are actually just thinking about reducing your carbon footprint, you should think of carbon offset as more like a last resort. Like, you know, do all the lifestyle changes or like at least some of the lifestyle changes things that we talked about. And if you absolutely cannot do some of them and you feel like you are able to and want to invest in these initiatives, then why not?
I think I completely agree with you. I think our mindset should be first to reduce our travel or choose alternate modes of travel or reduce our food waste and so on. And, you know, this could be a good addition, but this cannot be a solution.
Yeah, totally. Okay, cool. I feel like we've talked about so many things, and I honestly feel like I need a quick recap. Can we do that?
Yeah, definitely. Let's do a recap. So we spoke about the three main factors. One is travel, the other is food, and the third one is energy. So in traveling, of course, choosing public transportation, reducing the number of car rides or reducing your air travel were the three main things.
Yeah, and I guess taking lesser connecting flights was something we said about air travel.
Yeah, definitely. And when it came to food, of course, reducing your food waste overall, trying to plan beforehand so that you buy less and use less. And also, of course, the main thing, which is to reduce red meat and meat overall, meat and dairy, and going towards a more plant-based diet.
Yeah, those were good ones. Food waste. And then like, yeah, I guess on energy, we kind of talked about like how to make your homes more efficient, like kind of thinking about like, you know, reducing your use of energy, but also like trying to think about alternate sources of energy, like solar panels, things like that. And then we also kind of touched on like other ways, like apart from food waste, like kind of thinking about how do you reduce, reuse and recycle in everything else, so that like, you know, you're contributing less to climate change.
Yeah, totally. And I think just discussing all of these things is giving me a very positive outlook on this whole topic, because initially when I thought about climate change, I felt it was all going down. But I feel like now I, as an individual, can contribute to making this better every single day. So that's great.
Yeah, if we look at the data, like things are still going down. So I think it's really important to talk about this and like actually start making these changes that we were discussing. I know we've been doing some of these things, but like, you know, obviously like doing more of it. So yeah, I hope like our listeners also feel the same way and like, you know, can share this information and like start making these changes. So yeah, definitely tell us how you like this discussion and like which of these things you already practice. Like maybe we didn't cover some things that you've been practicing and like, you know, really helps you reduce your carbon footprint. We would love to hear more about that. And also, if you haven't thought about this much, well, it's still January, so it's not really late to make New Year resolutions, right?
Yeah, we hope you got some ideas from this episode and we would love to hear your feedback and any resolutions you end up taking. So email us at bioscope.podcast@gmail.com or connect with us on Instagram @bioscope_podcast.